If it's okay, I'd just like to open in prayer before I start speaking today. Thank you so much, Lord God, that you are here today. That yes, there are people away at New Wine and so on, but in spite of that, regardless, your power and your presence has been here today, and you've been speaking to us so powerfully. Lord, we bring our hearts before you, and we submit to your word. We don't want to just run away from the things you've said to us and the words you've given us, but we want to live in the truth of them. So I pray now, Lord God, that for each one of us, we won't just forget what's been said today. We won't rush on with the rest of our lives, but instead we will take the time to reflect, to wonder at what you have said, and to let your word change our lives, because your word has the power to do just that. I bring everything I'm going to say today before you again, Lord, and I ask the same to be true with my words, that you will change my life through these words, and that you will change the lives of every person here and the people who hear this sermon on the podcast, that you will work through everything I say, because ultimately it is your word that matters. In Jesus' name, amen. On the way here, I said to Mark that there's a degree of irony in the timing of this particular sermon series on Sabbath and rest. Because for Mark, for example, he presented his sermon in the middle of the harvest time, the busiest time of the year, when rest is at a premium. For me, this sermon is being presented in the weekend of San Diego Comic-Con, which is pretty much my busiest weekend of the year, which means that last night I was up till about 4:30 working. So, yeah, I think God has a bit of a sense of humour with his timing. He nudges people to say rest is important just at the time when they might be tempted not to do it. I definitely think he has a sense of humour in what he does. Now, with that being said, I suspect today's sermon will be a little different to what Andrew asked me to. Hopefully I won't get into any trouble for it. I know, I could be in danger here, guys. Prayers appreciated. I'd ask you please to turn to a passage that I don't think you'll have been expecting for this, for a sermon on delight. I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Now, these verses have been running through my mind ever since Mark referenced them last week. And I'd never thought of them in relation to the Sabbath before. But suddenly they became very real to me in this light. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I say this quite a lot in sermons, but that's one of my favorite verses. It's actually got a tremendous amount of depth to it, because in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul is deliberately using an image and language that Jewish readers would have recognized straight away. He's drawing on the image of the burnt offering. Now, the burnt offering was a type of sacrifice that was presented by the Jews to God, and it's described in the Old Testament. It was different to all the other sacrifices in two respects. And this is really important to get your head around to understand what that passage means. First, the burnt offering was not mandatory. All the other offerings were presented as part of feasts and different festivals, and so they had to happen. But the burnt offering was one that people could choose to present. A burnt offering was a sign of devotion, so you would buy an animal to sacrifice to God, and there were different offerings you could present based on the money you had available, so that a wealthy person would offer a greater slice of their income, but a poorer person could still make a burnt offering. And the idea of the burnt offering was that when you presented it, you were declaring to God, I want to worship you. I want to love you. I want to thank you. I want to live for you. The burnt offering was not mandatory because God wanted you to freely choose to make that kind of sacrifice. But it's described in the Old Testament as the sweet aroma offering. It was God's favorite sacrifice. It was the one he loved. And the Psalms describe the smell of these sacrifices being like the perfume that's just been sprayed on, that's filling a room, and everybody goes, ooh, that's nice. That's the image that the Old Testament evokes. Imagine God responding to these sacrifices going, oh, that's nice. That's lovely. I love that smell. It brings him pleasure. It brings him joy. Precisely because it was a willing act of worship, not one that was mandated. But there was another side to this offering that was unique as well. You see, in the world's eyes, the burnt offering was utterly wasteful. With the burnt offering, everything was consumed, dedicated to God. Nothing was left. Specifically, nothing even for the priests. With the other offerings, something was left so the priesthood could have food, so that they could maintain themselves and look after themselves and eat. But the priests got nothing from the burnt offerings. And so from a worldly viewpoint, this was wasteful. There was no benefit to the priesthood, no benefit to the faith in you presenting this. Because the world looked at it through the wrong perspective, of course. And that same pattern, incidentally, was true in all the other offerings and sacrifices that were made throughout the ancient world. The norm was that something would be left for the priests, that nothing, that there would not be, I'm getting the words wrong, that everything, that something would be left. Yes, getting my words wrong, sorry. Now, what does this have to do with the Sabbath? Well, first, because the Sabbath is a choice. And second, because from the world's point of view, it is wasteful. That's the thought that's kept striking my mind this week. That to the world, the idea of Sabbath, the idea of rest, is completely nonsensical. The world says that you value time by using it, by spending it, by rushing through it. And so the worldly pattern is that every minute is used with an eye to what you're going to do next. That's why we have road rage, because you're not just thinking, I'm enjoying the journey. You're thinking, I've got to get from A to B, because at B I need to do. Every moment is spent with an eye to the next moment. It's all hurry. It's all rush. And the people who've used their time wisely are the ones who've gotten through the most in the day, been the most productive. And we like to tell ourselves that we don't get caught up in the worldly pattern, but we do. Because it's there everywhere around us. And finally, at the end of the day, we're worn out, we're tired, we've used up every minute we can, and we stop. But we don't stop in the Sabbath kind of stop. We just stop with our brains absolutely fried and frazzled. And we just chill and we mindlessly do something that we don't enjoy. We just go on social media, or we go on a game, or we watch a TV show. And once it's done, we stop and think, what did I do there? I don't really remember. But at least I've stopped. That's what life's like in the worldly pattern. Let's be honest about it. But that's not what God wants for us. When he calls us to Sabbath, he is calling us to a completely different mindset, a completely different understanding of the nature of time. Ooh, we're getting philosophical today. He's calling us to understand our relationship with time in a different way. He's calling us not to rush through every moment, but to value the moments, to understand that there are times when we have to say, right, I am stopping, I am resting, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to savor this moment. As I thought of this, I imagined 2 days for me. And this has happened. Both scenarios have happened here, okay? Full confession. I love my curries. Absolutely love a good curry. But there are some days where I'm sat there and I know, right, Fee's prepared the meal while I'm working and I've got to get back, so I'll come on and I'll quickly eat, and there's going to be some comic book previews coming out soon, so I've got to get back to the screen and get back to work. So I'll eat quickly and enjoy the meal. Not really. I don't actually notice the taste. I'm just there, quickly eat, and back, right, oop. Somebody didn't like what I'm saying. Oop, I need to get on. Day one. You know what? I may love curries, but I haven't enjoyed it. Day two. Okay, I'm taking a minute. This is a meal I enjoy. I'm going to rest. I'm going to savour the taste. I'm going to delight in the taste. See, Andrew, the word is still in there. I'm going to delight in the taste. Take my time. Enjoy the moment. Spend time sat next to Fee. Chat with her as we eat. And then, maybe I've got work to do, but I'm not going to look at that little round God on the wall. I'm going to just carry on with my meal, enjoy it, and then go back. Two different perspectives. Guess which one gives me joy? Guess which one is a delight? Guess which one is better for me? Guess which one means that when it comes to getting back to work, I'm in a better frame of mind in the first place? The Sabbath is there in part to challenge our mindsets, to help us to avoid being focused on the next thing, and to encourage us to live in the present moment, to enjoy the present moment, to delight in the present moment. It is essential that we bring that kind of discipline into our lives because it is so countercultural, but also because it is contrary to our human nature. Left to our own devices, we will slip into the busy pattern, and we would do it even if we were left to ourselves. Do you know, I can slip into the busy mindset even if there isn't an editor on checking where an article's due in and how something's going on. I can slip into a busy mindset if Fee's not in the house and nobody's there bugging me. I can do it for myself. Sorry, I didn't mean to imply Fee bugs me. Suddenly realised what I said there. But I can do it for myself because it is part of my own human nature to work that way. And so, to Sabbath, to rest, to take time, to live in the moment, to enjoy the moment. It isn't just countercultural, but it's counter to something of my own fallen human nature as well. Mark was absolutely spot on last week when he said that rest is an act of warfare. When we rest, we declare war on the worldly pattern because we go against it. We declare war on a part of our own sinful, fallen human nature as well, because we're saying, no, I am not going to live like that. I am going to take a moment to rest. I am going to enjoy. To use the image that Mark gave that I thought was incredibly powerful, I am going to take a moment to just lie back in this river and enjoy it and delight in the sound of the water as it runs past and delight in the bird song in the sky. I am going to take a moment for joy. And as I thought about this, I realized that this busyness of our lives, this focus on the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, it is one of the greatest thieves in our lives. Because how do you get peace? By living in the moment, trusting God in the present. The grace of God is given for the present, for the things we are facing now. He meets with us and strengthens us in this present moment. When we are rushing on to the next, we let life steal us of peace. And where is joy found? Joy is found in the savoring, in the delighting, in the taking the time to enjoy it. You don't enjoy something if you're rushing past it. That thought came to me through a quote that I used in one of the devotionals this week from a writer who talked about how it was coming to the evening and his wife normally put the children to bed while he got ready for the next day. And they were coming to the normal routine and suddenly the kids turned to him with a pleading look in their faces. Daddy, can you tell us the story? And his first instinct was to say, no, I'm busy. I'm packing for tomorrow. I've got things to do. But he looked into their eyes and he couldn't help it. And so he said yes. And he looked through the books and he chose the daftest book in the world, one full of animal noises and farmyards. And so he sat there with them for 5 minutes making oinks and barks and mooing sounds. And the kids were giggling and loving it. And then he put them to bed and then he got on. And he was a little bit rushed after because he had to get on with it because, you know, he was supposed to be preparing for tomorrow. But the next morning, as he was getting up and shaving, he heard the kids talking to their mum. And he just heard them. And they were still making baaing noises and mooing noises and maybe dinosaur roars and different sounds. And he realized that was a moment of joy. That left a lasting impression. And you know what? I nearly missed it. I was so preoccupied with spending my time wisely and being productive that I nearly missed a moment of joy. How completely daft am I, was his reaction. How have I missed the joy? And yet, we all do it. Let's be honest. We all get caught up in the day-to-day and we let joy slip out of our hands by failing to recognize the value of the moment. And as I've thought about this through the week, I've just been blown away by the scale of the challenge that Sabbath gives. Because Sabbath really does challenge us to say, no, I am going to make an offering to God that in the world's eyes is wasteful. I am going to set aside time to rest, and the world will look at me and think, you're going to be busier now because of that, you know. And I'm going to say, maybe. But you know what? I'm going to have joy too. I'm going to know what it is to delight. So when we come to Sabbath, my challenge really to myself and to every single one of us is simply, do you want joy? Do you want delight? Look at the things that bring you joy. Look at the things that you delight in. And make sure you spend time integrating them into your life. Because God is a God of joy. God is a God of delight. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's the Psalms. Ooh, that's a thought, isn't it? At God's right hand is pleasure. Blows some of the religious mindset out of the water at 1 second, isn't it? God wants us to have joy. He wants us to delight. He wants us to have pleasure. And that is why he encourages us to change our patterns, to integrate Sabbath into our lifestyles. Now, that won't be easy. I've been there this week, and I'm going to be absolutely honest as a member of the preaching team here. All the way through this sermon series, I've sat there still thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this one. Because the pattern of my life doesn't lend itself to integrating Sabbath. But it's as I've prepared this that I've realized, by not doing, I'm letting myself be robbed of things that God wants for me. It's as simple as that. I'm letting myself be robbed of gifts that God wants me to have. And I'm not happy with that. So I need to find a way to do Sabbath. And I don't know the easy way to do it, but I've got to seek it out and pray about it and think about it and figure it out. The same will be true for every one of us. But here's the thing. If you want joy, if you want delight, then you're going to need something like the Sabbath just to jolt you out of the mindset that the world will want to put you into, that your own sinful nature will encourage you to fall into. There's a gift that God wants us to have. That's why I believe he's had us focus on Sabbath. And that's why I believe the timing of this sermon series has been at a point of real busyness for a lot of people, so that he can really just go wham in your face. This is what I want for you. I'm going to close in prayer. Thank you, Lord God, that you are good. You are good. And the gifts you have for us are good. You do not tell us to do things for the sake of your health. You do it because they are good, and they are good for us. So right now, Lord God, we bring our lives before you, and we don't know how to do this Sabbath thing as part of our lives. It's a challenge to figure it out in practical terms, and each one of us will have to make it look slightly different. But we want the joy. We want the delight. We want the pleasure that comes at your right hand. Nothing less. We don't want to settle for second best. We don't want to settle for busy and productive in the place of rested and blessed. We want more. So help us, Lord God. Help us to figure out how to do this in our lives. Help us to live a bit more in the moment. In Jesus' name, amen.